In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the first story of creation in the book of Genesis, we read, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now, that's not the majestic plural that King James was used to using as a king. It means that human beings are created to reflect the depth of God's being by living in community, living in relationships. Being interviewed for a conference on well-being, Archbishop Rowan Williams once said, "Human beings deserve to have the fullness of their humanity engaged." Now, in that interview, he talked about being attentive to the world around us, to the actions we engage in, and fundamentally being attentive to ourselves. Because it's so easy in a world that is so fast and furious, and with so many distractions, that we can become disengaged from reality, even disengaged from who we are, and therefore disengaged from God, our Creator. Trinity Sunday is a reminder that our doctrine of God is founded on the idea of relationships, and that through exploring those relationships, we discover more fully our own humanity and the possibilities of that humanity, which is, of course, made in God's image. I remember when I was a young priest, seeing my spiritual director every month and often talking about the same old things time and time again. It never seemed to get me very much further. I know now it's because I was trying to be someone else, trying to neatly separate out the different areas of my life to ensure they didn't get mixed up. I separated my priestly calling from my often confused and mixed up self that was Carl. But I also remember the session where I stopped putting things into neat boxes and spoke probably for the first time as the real me. If you like, united my head and my heart. And my spiritual director commented, and I've never forgotten these words, "Carl, before you were a two-dimensional person. Now you're becoming a three-dimensional person, and therefore your spiritual journey can really begin." Now, since many of you love Father Cheng's classes in which he explores the Greek text of the New Testament, here is a wonderful Greek word from the patristic period of the early church, in which the church fathers explore the doctrine of the Trinity. And the word is perichoresis. It's a great word because it means permeation without confusion. It's the idea that each of the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, share completely in the life of the other two. And of course, that is how we are meant to experience life with God. It's what Jesus constantly talked about in John's Gospel as he revealed the Father's glory to his disciples. Theologians say that each of the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, interpenetrates the others so that the distinctions between the persons are preserved, but the substance of God is not divided into three, which of course would lead to heresy, which we've seen many times over church history. Now here we go again. The word person comes from another wonderful Greek word, hypostasis, which originated in the world of Greek theatre, as the masks that the actors wore as they performed the play. But the early church fathers said that although there were three hypostases, there was one ousia, one substance, three persons, one God, one substance. So the idea of the play is not about separate members of a cast, but rather about the relationship that each of the characters have with the telling of the story. When we talk about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we also talk about creation, redemption, and the depth of life that we as humans are called to engage with. Thus, when we celebrate the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, we also say something about our humanity, and we begin to understand something of the meaning of being made in God's image, and what it means to be called to recognize the image of God in ourselves. In other words, by exploring the mystery of God, we begin to connect all the areas of our own lives to make them fully three-dimensional, rather than the very safe, but ultimately dull, two-dimensional lives that we often like to inhabit. And of course, they ultimately belong in books, or worse, comic strips. In our epistle reading today, St. Paul speaks beautifully about the interpersonal relationships between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how they are also experienced in our true calling to be children of God. He said, "All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Remember, Abba means daddy. This wonderful cooperating between the three persons of the Trinity is revealed in today's gospel reading when Jesus meets with Nicodemus. How significant that the discussion begins with the idea of rebirth. John's Gospel also begins with those powerful words that echo the first words of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, in the beginning. In that meeting of Jesus and Nicodemus, we glimpse creation again, redemption, and life in the Spirit. The Father sends the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. The Spirit is sent to animate, to bring to life that which was estranged from God. How wonderful in the second story of creation, Genesis, that God breathes the breath of life, Spirit, into Adam. Jesus explained to Nicodemus how God would be involved in the heart of community, how God would reconcile the world to himself, that God would do all these things because he was in the world. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Now that's a moment of revelation to Nicodemus, that God had come down from heaven to bring life and redemption, not condemnation. He would no longer be experienced from a distance, or in a theophany like a burning bush or a pillar of fire, or the vision that Isaiah had in the temple. He was to come among his people to bring health and forgiveness. Now, initially, Nicodemus's questioning was just like mine, that my spiritual director described as two-dimensional. Jesus is more interested in bringing people fully to life. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. By engaging with humanity through the incarnation, God allowed humanity to re-engage with the Creator. Okay, so if you find the idea of ancient Greek words and patristic theology confusing, don't worry. The doctrine of the Trinity is probably the most complicated doctrine to understand. And some would say it's almost impossible for human beings to understand it. Instead, like Nicodemus or St. Paul or the early followers of Jesus, we should seek to experience the Holy Trinity rather than try to explain it. God as our Creator, Jesus as our Redeemer, the Spirit as our Sanctifier. And for Anglicans, we have something even better, because this is something which is part of our DNA. For Anglicans root their theological truths not in dogma proclaimed by popes and bishops, but they put it firmly in the heart of the liturgy. It is in our experience of worship that we glimpse the truth of the doctrine of the Trinity, and to use John Wesley's beautiful words, we are lost in wonder, love, and praise. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, we pray to the Father. The Eucharist itself reveals the interrelatedness of each person of the Holy Trinity and allows us to model the reciprocal relationships that we find in the Trinity within the church community itself. When we affirm the Trinity in our liturgy, and today, just look at the number of times we do this in liturgical action, we remind ourselves that we are not alone. We are part of a community of faith. And that by building a community that worships, loves, and serves, we not only discover the presence of God as Trinity of persons, but we discover something of our own humanity. Let us make humankind in our own image, in our likeness. We become three-dimensional spiritual human beings, recognizing our spirituality, not just our mortality. Henry Nouwen once said, by claiming the Holy Trinity as home for our relational lives, we claim the truth that God gives us what we most desire and offers us the grace to forgive each other for not being perfect in love. Now, entering into the mystery of God cannot simply be done by reading books, learning dogma, or dare I say, passing exams. Belief in the incarnation means that the Word can never be contained by words. And Jesus not only revealed the glory of God, he showed how to build relationships with his followers so that they might enter into a deeper relationship with the Father through the power of the Spirit. The great icon of the Trinity by Rublev, a copy of which Father Smith left St. Thomas Church, we placed it today below the lectern, reveals the intimacy between the three persons of the Trinity and yet the unity of their purpose. Now, the icon is based on the visit of three angels to Abraham in the book of Genesis, but has long been interpreted as a revelation of the Holy Trinity. The use of the color blue to represent the glory of God is glimpsed on the inner robe of the Father. But it is revealed for all to see most fully on the Son's robe, a sign of the incarnation. God's glory, no longer hidden, but fully revealed. And there in the angel that represents the Spirit, again, the Spirit bringing the glory from within the Christian. Whoever has seen me, said Jesus, has seen the Father. The position of the hands, the staves that the angels carry, even the way that the heads of the angels are related to one another, show the intimacy of the Trinity. Three persons, yet one God. And of course, this is a wonderful image because it's the Orthodox or Eastern Church's understanding of the Trinity, not the Western obsession with equilateral triangles or clover leaves. The geometry of this icon shows great unity, but the two angels that represent the Son and the Spirit lean toward the Father, from whom they proceed, according to the Eastern version of the Nicene Creed. In fact, the early church fathers said, the Son and the Spirit are like the two hands of the Father reaching out into the universe. This icon has great stillness. That's why many people love to sit before this particular icon. Great stillness, and yet it is filled with movement in the relationship between the three angels and the world around them. The tree of life above the angel which represents the Son, reminding us also of the tree of the cross. And the mountain of God, which reminds us of the Spirit's power. But above the angel to the left, to which both the other angels move towards, there is the Father's house. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, said Jesus. And into that house we are all being invited, and the action of the Son and the Spirit is to lead us there. But when we look even closer at the relationship between the three angels, we also notice that they are gathered around an altar. And the angel representing the Son is pointing to the chalice. And if you look even closer, and you take your time, the relationship between the three angels itself becomes the image of the chalice, an image of the pouring out of love for the whole universe from the very heart of the Godhead. God engages with the world so that we can engage with God's very being. Commenting on this very icon, Henry Nouwen said, we come to experience a gentle invitation to participate in the intimate conversation that is taking place among the three angels and to join them around the table. The movement from the Father towards the Son and the movement of both Son and Spirit towards the Father becomes the movement in which the one who prays is lifted up and held secure. My friends, on this Trinity Sunday, let us enter into that circle of love, and in so doing, re-engage with our own humanity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.